deer and the antelope play. Hello, dear friends. This is John Charles Thomas. Well, here we are again with another half hour of song, story, and music for you men and women in the armed forces of the United Nations. For story, we have John Nesbitt, one of America's best. For music, there's Victor Young in the orchestra. And for song, the Ken Darby Chorus and myself. And now, Vic, with the preliminaries over, let's get started. We have a rousing tune to sing for you now. When Johnny Comes Marching Home. When Johnny comes marching home again, hurrah, hurrah, we'll give him a hearty welcome then, hurrah, hurrah. The men will cheer, the boys will shout, the lasses, they will all turn out, and we'll all feel gay when Johnny comes marching home. The old church bell will peal with joy, hurrah, hurrah, to welcome home our darling boy, hurrah, hurrah. The village lads and lasses say, with roses they will strew the way, and we'll all feel gay when Johnny comes marching home. Get ready for the jubilee, hurrah, hurrah. We'll give the hero 3 times 3, hurrah, hurrah. The laurel wreath is ready now to place upon his loyal brow. We'll all feel gay when Johnny comes marching home. Let love and friendship on that day, hurrah, hurrah, their choicest treasures then display, hurrah, hurrah. And let each one perform some part to fill with joy the warrior's heart. We'll all feel gay when Johnny comes marching home. When Johnny comes marching home. Probably one of the greatest favorites in the field of popular songs, a tune that is practically a popular classic, comes next, Stardust. Thank you. An old song that continues to live up to its title, My Lovely Celia. The tune itself is traditional, the arrangement by Ken Darby. It's called Old Joe Clark. Do, si, do, and away we go.
I used to live on a mountaintop, but now I live in town. I'm boarding at the big hotel, Court and Betsy Brown. Fare you well, Old Joe Clark, fare you well, I'm gone. Fare you well, Old Joe Clark, goodbye, Betsy Brown. I used to want a knife, but now I am a bigger boy. All I want's a wife. Fare you well, Old Joe Clark. Fare you well, I'm gone. Fare you well, Old Joe Clark. Goodbye, Betsy Brown.
First come about and swing in the middle. Take your big feet to the tilt to the fiddle. When you get there, remember my call. Swing in the corner and promenade, oh. Meet your partner with an elbow swing. Keep right on the table thing. Promenade on.
I wish I was a sugar tree a-growing in some town. For every time a lady passed, I'd shake some sugar down. Fare you well, Old Joe Clark. Fare you well, I'm gone. Fare you well, Old Joe Clark. Goodbye, Betsy Brown. Now, Old Joe Clark, he had a cat. She'd neither sing nor play. She stuck her head in a buttermilk jar and washed her sins away. Fare you well, Old Joe Clark. Fare you well, I'm gone. Fare you well, Old Joe Clark. Goodbye, Betsy Brown.
Listen to the music, listen to the call. All join hands and walk the hall. Catch your foot and twirl on your heel. The longer you dance, the better you'll feel. Oh, promenade on.
Oh, fare you well to Old Joe Clark. Oh, fare you well, I'm gone.
A
song that has become a standard of American song literature is my next. It was written by Irving Caesar some years ago and has lost none of its appeal. If I Forget You.
Brush away that tear, let me hear no sighing. Though the hour of parting approaches now, love I gave to you was a love undying. You'll not be forsaken, I take this vow. I'll never forget you. What should I forget you? Then let my eyes forget that day and seen the day, my love. And let my ears not hear sweet children at their play, my love. And let my lips forget that they have loved. My love, if I forsake you, if I forsake you, I'll never forget you. But should I forget? Then may I never know but the bitter, not the sweet, my love. And may I never find a friendly hand to greet, my love. And let this heart of mine forget that it must be my love. If I forget, if I forget you.
This is John Charles Thomas. Now from music to words again, which is the cue for John Nesbitt to bring us another chapter from his passing parade. John Nesbitt.
This is the story of the single greatest mystery that ever takes place. The miracle that occurs when there suddenly appears among us a human being with mental powers more than 2,000 years ahead of his age. These are the pathfinders of the passing parade. 350 years before the coming of Christ, when the now bleeding city of Athens in Greece was then a world capital of marble and gold, a young man lay dying in a little house of stone. His murderer was invisible. The man would feel well enough on the morning, but by sunset a red spot would appear on each cheek. His eyes would shine with fever, and fits of coughing would shake him so that his wife would rush from the room and clutch her hands against the side of her head to shut out that sound. Of course, humans died constantly and helplessly as flies in ancient times. But people didn't like it any better than we do, for heartbreak is as old as any disease. So there was no hope. No reasonable hope, except that women have a faculty at times of refusing to believe in facts. It usually occurs when someone they love is threatened. And the wife had a secret. She had heard of a newcomer to Athens, a radical damned by the priests, furiously prosecuted by the drug sellers. He was a man who dared to practice medicine in his own way. And yet, I cannot tell you what this strange new doctor looked like, for man has utterly forgotten his appearance, except that he was quiet, calm, simple, and very kind. The wife went to him. "My husband is dying. Everything we have we will pay you if you will give us the secret of curing him." And the strange physician shook his head. "I don't know any mysterious cures. I only study the ways that nature does them. But let's be going, because I wouldn't learn anything if I didn't do my work." And together, the calm stranger and the young wife walk through the boulevards and the narrow alleys of Athens. And she watches him. "What is your name?" "Why," says the physician, "they call me Hippocrates." And at sunset, the new doctor enters the house. Oddly enough, he apparently forgets to hang up the proper charms or to burn the approved incense. He carries no medicine. He merely throws the door wide and lets the sunlight stream in, and then steps to the bedside as confidently as if his medical treatment were merely a smile. He asks questions, dozens of them, not about devils and sins, but about aches and pains. Then he examines the husband's eyes, his mouth, and his brown hands gently explore the patient's body, and upon a wax pad he busily scratches notes and observations. And then, smiling again, he rises and goes toward the door, and the wife stops him. "What is it?" And he looks surprised. "Why, I don't know. I don't know what makes him sick. But this, I'll tell you, might be right. At least it'll do no harm. Let him leave you a while. Go from the city to a distant farm in the hills. Let him drink only pure water from the springs and eat as he likes. Let him lie in the sun outside. Rest. Rest. Rest and sunlight. Nature has let him wither. Let him lie humbly upon the heart of nature, and she may cure him." To us, countless long years in the future from that moment, this is just common sense. But then it was revolution, for common sense is one of the last things men get around to. The wife could hardly understand, but she obeyed, and the husband creeps painfully off on his long journey to the hills. And for 2 years she waits alone. There's no mail, the average people can't read. She just waits. And 2.5 years after Hippocrates had left the house, down from the hills came a man striding through the dust like a conqueror, bronze from the sun and shouting the joy of life. The husband returned from the dead. And he came to his house and he entered, and the rest of his story disappears in all the cloudy centuries that have gone by since that day. And this man of the future, Hippocrates too, he moves out of our sight. We have no records of where he went, of who knew him and who called him friend. And scholars are still learnedly arguing that he died at the age of 85, or was it 97, or was it 106? But of course, such men never die at all. For although Hippocrates had no microscope or X-ray or stethoscope or sulfanilamide, and no library of books to study, he had everything else. He had an honest heart. He dared to say, "I do not know." He dared to look on the face of nature herself and guess that there was the textbook that held all knowledge. And so now we're calling that mysterious and almost entirely forgotten man the father of medicine. And we do have his marvelous notebooks, that is all. And the proof from them that the healer of Athens was one of the immeasurably great mortals who has walked the earth. For 18 centuries after Hippocrates, the world, ironically enough, forgot the teachings and went cheerfully back to superstition. But when we did remember them, the age of science flourished again. Engineers and chemists and physicists, every kind of real scientist, have been working together with one principle of his ever since. Find out the facts first and then only offer your theory. And that is why every doctor and nurse today begins a medical career with the oath, which was set down in one of the notebooks of the father of medicine. I swear treatment to help the sick according to my ability and judgment, but never with a view to injury or wrongdoing. Neither will I administer a poison, but I will keep pure and holy both my life and art, and whatsoever I shall see or hear in the course of my profession, I will never...
Victor Young has selected Rimsky-Korsakov's amusing Dance of the Buffoons to play for you. Let's have it, Victor. Selected the ballad Tally Ho. There's a noise of galloping over the hill, and the huntsman's horn rings merry and shrill. See, here they come with a view halloo, hounds and horses and huntsmen too, galloping, 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 galloping by. The horses trample, the hounds they bay. The riders' coats are scarlet and gay. Hey there, youngster, the huntsmen say, have seen the fox go by, galloping, 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 galloping by. I look as stupid as I can be, and never a word do they get from me. Until in anger they shake the rein and start the rollicking hunt again. Galloping, 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 galloping by.
would I be telling them? No, not I. But I saw the fox go wearily by, wearily panting, worn and spent. Would I be telling the way he went? Galloping, 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 and no, not I.
Onward, Christian soldiers.
Speaking. This rebroadcast of the John Charles Thomas Show has been a presentation of the Armed Forces Radio Service.